How about Vicky in Cherry Hill, New Jersey? Good morning, Vicky.
Hi, good morning. It's my first time listening to your show, so welcome to me. The first thing that you were speaking about is of course, the big issue with pro-choice, pro-life. I'm pro-choice. I'm a Catholic, but I believe the rights of my body to do what I want with it. And you had brought up that vaccines, you were putting like those things in the same category, and I think you can't. And each situation that comes up needs to be addressed differently with different guidelines. So,
are you referring to my comment about my body, my choice?
No. Where you had said about, if you want to use that, yeah. But I don't think that applies to every situation. It can't, because everything is different.
Let's apply it to abortion. Would that be a true statement for you with regard to abortion? My body, my choice?
Not just straight up, I'm pregnant, now I want an abortion. I'm pregnant, I want an abortion. No, of course not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a woman who's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. In trouble in what way? Like in trouble with the law?
Maybe she's having a bad pregnancy. Okay. I think a danger to the mother and to the baby. That's where I say, with everything, it can't just be black or white. And like the same thing you said with vaccines, you went on with Biden. I'm not pro Biden. I was definitely anti-Trump, but, so, when you played a clip or something where he, you want him to just come out and act Catholic because he has, ashes on his head. That's between him and God.
Well, but he's making a public spectacle out of the fact that he's wearing ashes. He's doing it for effect. And he's also telling the reporters what he gave up for Lent. I mean, he's the one who's making a kind of a public deal about his Catholic faith. So,
right.
I mean,
and my thought,
is he wrong to do so?
Not everyone is Catholic. So not everyone knows, as people say, what are you giving up? It's much deeper than that when you're a Catholic.
I know, and I don't need to be instructed on that. But, I mean, it was the president himself who brought it up in the first place. He was the one who made a point about his Catholic faith, as he's done any number of times before.
Right.
So, I mean, do you object to him talking about his Catholic faith or touting his Catholic faith?
No.
Okay. Well, then, given that, Vicky, then why would you object to somebody asking him, if you're a Catholic, why don't you also follow the church's teaching on abortion? And the church's teaching is that abortion is always and everywhere wrong, that it's intrinsically evil because it's always the intentional taking of an innocent human life.
And I think as he responded was, he's not going to get into a big debate right then.
Mm-hmm.
I say the same thing, because you don't get people to just change their mind in 20 seconds,
mm-hmm.
So I respect that he, was honorable with his answer, at least saying, what he said.
It seemed to me more like a cop-out, like he didn't know what to say. So he just said, well, I'm not going to have a debate on that. I think he would lose that debate very quickly, a theological debate. But you notice he followed it up by saying, I'm not making decisions for other people. I'm not going to make decisions for other people. And I don't know if you heard that part of my conversation earlier today, but I brought up what seems to me to be a great, some people might call it hypocrisy, on the one hand, insisting that other people take a vaccine that some of them didn't want, and saying, in those cases, my body, my choice. And he said, no, you have to do it because it affects other people. And yet he says that he doesn't want to make decisions when it comes to abortion, even though it affects other people, namely the unborn child who is killed. So it's inconsistent, if you ask me.
And like I said, each situation that comes up, I think, needs to be addressed differently with different guidelines.
Why?
I didn't want to take any vaccines. My husband didn't want to take vaccines. But, you know, you have to do it because he's in the public. He's with other people. I'm not saying that a life is not important. That is not my point at all. I love
children. So to take the vaccine in order to protect the lives of other people, would that be a fair premise?
You take the vaccine to protect yourself and other people.
Okay. So if you take the vaccine because you're saying, I want to protect other people, I don't want to, you know, give it to them, even though we know that you can give it to other people, even if you've been vaccinated.
Right. Whether you're vaccinated or not, that's happened here.
Right. Yeah. So my point is that if you're and there are many people for whom this is their reason for taking the vaccine, they want to protect other people. Well, if we apply the same logic in the case of a woman who's pregnant, what about the other person who's inside her? I mean, that's a separate person with separate DNA and an entirely separate body who is being nurtured in her body. That's the nature of motherhood. So if it's important to protect other people by taking the vaccine, and if the president can interfere with your life and tell you, it doesn't matter what you want, I insist that you put this into your body, whether you want it there or not, which is in essence what he did with his mandates, then applying that same logic in the case of another person who's being hurt, you know, or killed in this case, it's really the same kind of thing. And I don't see why we would need to have some different standard when it's the same issue of bodily autonomy and harm to another person. It seems really clear to me.
Well, like I said, I'm not anti-life at all. You know,
are you okay with the death penalty?
Am I what?
Are you? I'm sorry. Or do you support the death penalty, Vicky?
No.
Why not?
No. Why not? Well, there's been a lot of cases where things have been proven differently.
You mean like innocent people being killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the innocent baby in the womb? That baby's done nothing wrong.
No, I didn't say the baby did. I'm saying.
Right. So why should we be open, or at least, you know, okay with the idea of putting that person to death who's innocent, and at the same time be against the death penalty? And I am too, but to be against the death penalty because innocent people sometimes are executed, I find that a very compelling argument. So why would we opt in favor of the person who's on death row and say his life is worth saving, so let's not have the death penalty, but the unborn baby in the womb, his life is not worth saving?
Nope. I'm not saying that 100%. Each situation is going to be different. Like I said in the beginning, I don't think, you know, you get pregnant, oh, I don't want to have an abortion, I'm pregnant. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there should be guidelines for this stuff. I don't think everything can be black and white. Like, you're either, you do this.
Yeah, for those who might be tuning in and didn't hear any of our previous conversation, you had mentioned, and correct me if I misstate anything, but you had mentioned that you are Catholic and you're also pro-choice, and we were discussing, how did you put it, things are not black and white, but we have to have guidelines.
Guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my question that we were discussing before had to do with the COVID shot and the mandate and people being told that they had to put something into their own body, even if they didn't want it. And how I see a parallel between that and, well, actually, it's sort of like the reverse parallel, because it seems like people who insist upon vaccinations so that you can avoid harming other people, they don't follow that same logic when it comes to abortion, in which you have another separate person inside the woman's body. That's the baby. Separate DNA, separate body. And that person always gets harmed. That person always dies in an abortion. So help me out here. I don't understand the logic of why we would say, in the case of the vaccine, you must take the vaccine to help other people, but in the case of abortion, you have the right to insist on your own bodily autonomy at the expense of another person. Do you see what appears to me to be an illogical aspect there?
And I'm sure there, in fact, I know of people that are told to do one thing and they do not do it. So, you know, and I understand how, you know, you want to compare the two because they're, you know, they represent what we do to our body. So mm-hmm. I understand why you're putting the two. But again, I go with the abortion issue. I think there's guidelines that can be met with the vaccine. If people don't want to do it, I don't know if are they truly losing their jobs over not getting a vaccine, or are they offered something else to do? That I'm not very familiar with.
I can tell you, just on that point, that there are thousands of military personnel who were forced to separate from the military because they didn't want to get vaccines, including very highly trained Navy SEALs and special operators of other branches. So that would be just one example. But can you help me here? Because I don't understand the logic. So if we can say, as the government has said, you must take this vaccine, you must put this in your body, and one of the primary reasons is so that you don't harm other people. How does that not apply in the case of, let's say, in a pregnancy, where saying, you know, this person who's inside you will be born in due time, don't kill him in the meantime, because that's another person. How are they different in your mind?
I don't know, except there's exceptions to things. So if you make things pro-life, then you're not making an exception. If you make it pro-choice, you can have exceptions put mm-hmm. into that. Or if, you know, that's what I don't understand, how things can be, you know, black or white. Mm-hmm. And I'm not racial. It's just easier to say black or white.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But I mean,
do you think we should have exceptions for, say, slavery? Would there be situations where it would be okay for a white person to own a black person?
No.
Shouldn't there be exceptions?
I mean, why are we going back hundreds and hundreds of years?
Slavery exists now. I mean, there's all kinds of slavery around the world. But, you know, in our own history, we know that it was a terrible thing. But I mean, how would you handle somebody who said, well, we should have exceptions because, you know, there may be some situations where slavery could be okay? Or would you just reject that out of hand?
Well, I don't want to live under a dictatorship.
True. You know, and
that's basically what most things try to do, unless people create an uproar about it, and then things get looked at differently.
So in the case of slavery, Would you agree with me? This is my view. My view is that there's never, ever, under any circumstances, an exception where, under these circumstances, it would be okay for a white person to own a black person as a slave. Just zero exceptions. That's my view.
Right. But if you're talking about the United States and our culture, yes, we can't. I'm not talking about around the world. I can't speak for around the world because they all live differently. I'm still not mm-hmm. saying it's right, but for those countries, it might be right. I'm talking
really? So to
states that we live in 2020. No.
So let's say in parts of the Middle East, in the Middle East, you know, where it's known that there are slavery is practiced. So.
Right.
I want to understand your perspective on this. So are you saying that it's only wrong, slavery is only wrong here because of our history and our laws, but that slavery, the same kind of slavery, would be okay in a different country if they had a different set of laws? Is that what you mean?
It's when we look at it, when I look at it, I say it's wrong. It's wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. It's wrong all the time. But if that's how they live, okay, they go by their guidelines mm-hmm. in their country. How can mm-hmm. we can't step in and do that tell them it's wrong. You know, it's just like, I mean, for the different faiths around the world, mm-hmm. you know. It's,
well, you know, we did that with Hitler because he thought it was great to round up Jews and kill them. And we said, that's wrong. We're going to fight you. Do you think we were wrong to fight Hitler over that issue? Because in his country, it was legal to do that.
No, but we shouldn't be running other countries with what we believe. That's why when we get on these wars all around the country, you know, all over, everywhere, mm-hmm. We go there, I guess, to protect the PR people that are there. But it's like if somebody came here and said, you know, we're going to come live in your country, you know, as military, and you're going to change to what we want. Like, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. I think in the case of Hitler, it had a lot to do with the fact that Hitler was invading other countries, obviously. So he was attacking other countries. Mm-hmm. But as one of the centerpieces of his policy was that everything is the fault of the Jews. And therefore, the Jews have to be killed. They have to be eliminated. That's what was known as his final solution. And he acted upon that and killed, you know, many millions of people because he thought they were inferior. Let's take that same question and just apply it here at home. What about the KKK? You know, they hate black people, among others. Should we just let them go about their business and not bother with them, or should we oppose them, do you think?
Of course, oppose them. But mm-hmm. as a group, can we enforce and tell them you can't do this anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we can outlaw cross burnings. We can outlaw lynchings.
Could be done.
Right. So their issue, Vicky, is racism. You know, they hate other people, in the case of black people, because of the color of their skin. Is there ever a situation, in your view, where that could be okay?
Not that I've come to in my little life, no. And when I see things that happen like that on the news and across the country, it sickens me that in this day and age, we're still at that mentality. Mm-hmm. So,
is there anything that you would say this is always and everywhere wrong and we should oppose it? Is there anything that somebody could do that would fit into that category for you?
On the spot right now, I can't think of anything.
Murder?
I don't know. I'm sorry?
Murder?
Again, do you have 100% proof of murder? You know, we're going back to like the death penalty thing. If there's 100%,
well, no, just murder as such, as a concept, as a concept. You know, murder taking the life of an innocent person.
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in that murder is ever permissible?
You know what? It's hard to say. It's hard to.
Uh huh. So, you know, what do you stand for? What do you stand for? I mean, I don't mean this in a flippant way. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But if it's not murder, if it's not racism, if it's not slavery, if it's not abortion, if those things could be okay under some circumstances, is there anything that somebody could do that we might call evil that you would say that's always wrong no matter what?
I don't have an answer right now. I'm on the spot. There's so many things that I could say, oh, that's wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong. But when you talk about slavery, no, we've gone through that. Murder, eye for an eye. You know, I am...
No. Is there anything anyone could do to you? God forbid. What about rape? Would there ever be a scenario where it would be okay for a man to rape a woman?
No.
Would you say that rape is always and everywhere wrong? I would. But I'm just curious what you would say.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, why would it be wrong? Okay. And what about in a country where they don't have the same laws that we do?
And like I said, that if that's their country's laws. I personally don't like it, that it's acceptable to them, or it happens, or it's not acceptable and happens. But it's not like it's not our problem, but we have to accept what other people do that aren't in this country. Okay?
So rape, okay, I want to make sure I understand. So I realize you don't like rape. I don't either. I oppose it. But are you saying that there are some circumstances where it is okay for a man to rape a woman?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying. If it's in another country with different laws, it would be okay over
there.
It's not
America, it's not our business. But we get into it and we try and change the way they want to do things.
But what about just rape as a concept? Just the whole idea, whether it happens on the moon?
No, of course.
Whether it happens on the moon or happens in, you know, someplace here in the U.S., the very idea of a man raping a woman, are you saying that there are some...
everything.
Oh, I know that. I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is your view... I'm just trying to understand your view. Is your view that rape in some cases might be okay? Or is it always wrong?
It's always wrong. I think I've made that clear. It's always wrong, but we can only follow the rules that are made for us.
Okay, so in this country, would we agree, you and I, that we should have laws against rape, and when a man rapes a woman, he should be punished, he should be put in prison?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Something should be done. It shouldn't just be passed over, which happens many times.
But why is that? I mean, is it just because it's something that you and collectively we don't like? Or is there something inherently wrong with rape that makes it in itself intrinsically evil? Or is it just something that we don't like and we've agreed to punish it?
I think it's not natural.
I agree. I think, just to share my own view, I think that rape is always and everywhere wrong. And I believe that there's never a scenario where you could say, not you personally, but where somebody could say, in this situation, it's okay for a man to rape a woman. So all I'm asking for, and maybe this might be a good place for us to, you know, to say goodbye, only because I've got to take a break. I would love to talk to you for the next 3 hours if we had time, Vicki.
No.
And I hope you'll call me back. I really do. But I'll leave you with this thought, if I can. We can agree that rape is wrong. And I think we would agree if we had the time to parse it out, because it is violence against a woman. It is making use of her body. It objectifies her and forces her into a situation that she doesn't choose. And there's more to it, of course, but I think those are some of the salient points. My view is that the same thing, but even worse, takes place in an abortion. It objectifies the unborn, innocent human person in the womb. It uses violence, as the rapist does, to get, you know, that person out of the way. And it also is the intentional killing of an innocent human life. I don't believe any of us has the right to take an innocent human life. I just don't. Mm-hmm. So those are my cards on the table, Vicki, just so you know kind of more where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad we had this conversation. I really am.
Yeah.
I hope you'll call me again.
I'm glad I found your program. I'm not the best with my words and expressing myself. But I just know what I feel in my heart, and I'm the kindest person. I'm understanding.
Do you think the unborn baby who's being murdered or who's being killed in the womb would feel that's kindness and understanding?
No, but again, what do you know about that baby in the womb that you're going
to... Just that he's innocent, just that he's a human being, and that he has a right to life. I know that much. Vicki, thank you. I can't begin to express my gratitude for your phone call today. Thank you. I hope you'll call me again, and please, by all means, please keep listening. Thank you, Vicki. So a couple things came to the surface in this broader discussion. We talked about primarily the issue of abortion. Vicki said that she's Catholic and she's pro-choice. So we had a discussion kind of led into other parallel issues like slavery and rape and other things. But I thought it might be interesting to note that as thoughtful and as, you know, willing to have a conversation as Vicky is, there are plenty of people out there who are not at all that way when it comes to the issue of abortion. I want you to hear in her own words one of these people. Now, provide any background detail that I might be missing, Cyrus. I think this lady is a nurse, right? She works in a hospital.
This is a Planned Parenthood nurse. And this
nurse,
is,
okay.
This is an undercover, this is one of those undercover operations where she doesn't know she's being recorded, so she's being a little more honest than she would be if she knew she had a camera in her face.
Got it. So here's a nurse, works in an abortion clinic, and she, in an unguarded moment, she's explaining how she approaches this issue of abortion.
Yeah, and what do you do? So, okay, so someone like Vicky or someone that's pro-choice, they call it a fetus, or, you know, it's not a baby yet. It's not a human being until it's born. Well, what happens when an abortion goes wrong and the baby is born yeah. and you have a baby in your hands? What do they do? And what they do is disgusting.
What if it was like twitching or like something like that? Like...
The solution will make it stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to be moving around in the jar.
Okay, the solution would make it like...
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the solution.
Okay. So like if it looked like it was like breathing or something like that?
It'll automatically stop. It won't be able to.
It won't be able... Okay. So I'm not even going to see it.
No.
So... Okay, so yeah. I mean, like, if that happens...
You're asleep, they take it out, and it goes into our lab where they do the stuff with the jar and cleaning and all that.
Okay, so
let's
what
pause
is the
for
solution?
A second.
It's just like...
Let's pause for a second. When she's referring to solution, she's referring to a saline solution, so a container of liquid. Sometimes formaldehyde, from what I understand, is also another liquid that might be in this situation. So when she says the solution will stop it, what she means is that she would submerge the baby in this container of liquid, of saline fluid, and drown the child. So if an abortion were attempted and the baby were born, then her technique for putting an end to this is to drown the now born baby in saline solution. So that's what she means by solution. Let's continue.
So what is the solution? It's just like... Something like toxic or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to do that to keep it clean and, you know, because by the time it gets to the lab, it still needs to be freshly, you know.
Yeah.
So they could weigh it, so it could be proper weight to make sure that everything came out of you. Like, there's no pieces left in you.
No. So, like, you'll make sure, like, I don't have to deal with it.
No.
If it will die. Like,
You're done. Once you start this today, that's it. You're not going to see it. We're not going to show you your sonogram pictures. We're not going to, you know.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm like, if I feel like I'm having, like, labor pain kind of thing.
Yeah. Call us.
Call you.
Yeah. We have an emergency line.
Like, what if it, like, pops out, like, at home? Like.
If it comes out.
Yeah.
Then it comes out.
Then
flush it.
Just like flush it.
Yeah, but you still have to come in.
Okay.
We have to make sure that everything came out. But we never had a situation like that.
Because if it's like, what if it's like on the floor? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what would we do with it?
You're not going to be taking care of it.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Like, you guys would come and like.
If anything, you know, we'll tell you to put it in a bag or something or somewhere and bring it to us. And then we have 2-day procedures all the time.
You do. It's like pretty common. Like, even with me kind of stage.
Yeah.
Like, at this stage.
Like, every day.
Whatever happens at home. You know, like, don't call the hospital.
No, call us.
Okay. Why not call the hospital?
Because we started it first. The hospital won't take you. They won't touch you either because we started it. So whoever starts it has to finish it.
Lies.
All lies, yeah.
Lies.
Well, she's not lying, though, about what they will do. I mean, you know, they'll take care of it. You know, child isn't.
I meant about don't call the hospital. Don't call. And then she's like, oh, and we want to clean it. And then I think she like realized what she was saying. She's like, oh, because we weigh it and make sure we got all its parts out of
this. This is a child who's partially dismembered, who is still alive after emerging from the birth canal. All right, horrendous stuff. Now, do we have time to play a little bit of Dr. Anthony Levitino responding to the question, is it ever necessary, medically speaking, for an abortion to take place to save the life of the mother? Do we have time for that?
Yeah, let's get into it really quick.
Okay, let's do it.
We hear all the time how abortion, including especially late-term abortion, is necessary to save women's lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. I spent 9 years working at a tertiary medical center. I mean, there are only certain hospitals in the country that are designated to take care of the really, really high-risk pregnancies. You don't want to duplicate the effort. It's expensive. So these hospitals get referrals from the surrounding area. And Albany Medical Center in Albany, New York, where I worked, was one of them. I was faculty at the hospital for 9 years. And I saw hundreds of cases of really severe pregnancy complications, cancers, heart disease, intractable diabetes out of control, toxemia of pregnancy out of control. And I saved, in those 9 years, I saved hundreds of women from life-threatening pregnancies. And I did that by delivering them, by ending their pregnancy by delivery, either induction of labor or cesarean section.
Delivering the baby.
Delivering the baby. And I always tell people, in all of those years, the number of babies that I was obligated to deliberately kill in the process was zero, none. And I'll give you an example. The key point about late-term abortion that so many people miss is that it takes days to prepare the cervix. This is not a natural situation by any stretch. If you're going to dilate a cervix sufficiently, that starts off essentially as a pinpoint, large enough to dismember or tear apart a baby this big, that cervix has to be dilated, and that can take anywhere from 24 to 72 hours. And especially when you're talking about later-term pregnancies. Most life-threatening situations, the vast, vast majority of life-threatening situations in pregnancy are not going to arise until 24, 25, 26 weeks of pregnancy and higher. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about abortion procedures that take 2 and 3 days to prepare the cervix. And I'll give you a classic example. This is a real case. A lady came to the hospital at 27 weeks of pregnancy with severe toxemia. Her blood pressure, you know, a normal blood pressure is about 120 over 80. Her blood pressure was 220 over 160. Okay, this lady would literally be minutes or hours away from a stroke. What do you do in a situation like that? We stabilized her, brought her back, did a cesarean section, had her delivered within an hour of arriving at the hospital. She and her baby did just fine.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.